Shall we have a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you open our eyes that we can see the wonderful thing that is written in the gospel. And I pray that you not only open our eyes that we can see, open our ear that we can hear. On top of that, open our heart that we can receive your word and inscribe it within our heart, so that with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can walk in step with the Holy Spirit, and so that we receive all the honor and glory and blessing from you. Hear my prayer, listen to my cry for mercy, and I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said, Paul was confronted with a non-Christian attending the church and challenging him for his credibility. Is he really the servant of our Lord Jesus Christ? So that's why Paul said that in chapter 3, verse 1. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? If you truly know who you are, you don't need letter of recommendation from other people in order to be able to serve in the church of Corinth. Or when Paul left the church of Corinth, he didn't need the letter of recommendation from the saint, the elder, the leader of the church of Corinth to write letter to, let's say, Galatians, to Ephesians. You don't need that. But in the Bible, if you turn to Acts chapter 18, and you know that fellow called Apollos. Apollos is well versed in verse 24, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scripture, and he has been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and talked about Jesus accurately. Though he knew only the baptism of John, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers in the church of Ephesus, like Aquila and Priscilla, encouraged him and write to the disciple there to welcome him. Apollos is not well known by all other churches. When he go to Ephesus, he get help from a couple, Aquila and Priscilla. And then when Aquila and Priscilla thinking that he is a good pastor, although he only know about the baptism of John the Baptist, he doesn't know the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they write a letter of recommendation and give him the letter when he go to Corinth, because Aquila and Priscilla come from Corinth, okay? So Apollos need letter of recommendation from the saint in Ephesus to the Corinth, so that when Apollo went to Corinth, people know him through Aquila and Priscilla. But Paul said, I don't need any recommendation, because through his writing, everybody knows he is God's servant. By the time when he write the 2 Corinthians, he has written Galatians, he has written 1 Corinthians, and now he's writing the 2 Corinthians. And that epistle of Galatians, epistle of 1 Corinthians, And now 2 Corinthians, that is his accreditation. He didn't need any recommendation from the saint in Corinth, like Apollos, okay? Why? Because in verse 2, you yourself are our letters written on our heart. I want you to write that down. A lot of people read this verse, they don't understand what he's trying to say. He says, you yourself are our letter written on our hearts. What does it really mean? It really means 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians is God's command. It's the Lord's command. Why? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 37 and 38. Paul said that if you are prophets, if you think that you are spiritual, you should know and acknowledge that my writing is the Lord's command. It is God's scripture. How many people can say things like that? Okay? Paul can say things like that. And on top of that, I tell you, what does it really, really mean? Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. You yourself are our letter. I tell you, what does it really, really mean in this? You yourself are our letter. Compare with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 to 17. Paul said that you yourself are God's temple. And now he say, you yourself is our letters. And then that letter was written in our heart. This meaning is very, very deep. Unless you think it through. He said that again. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 to 20. Don't you know your body is the temple of God? The Holy Spirit dwells in you. So the temple of God means you yourself is God's temple. That means you yourself has Holy Spirit within your heart. And now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, he says, you yourself are our letters. That means in your heart, you should have God's word within your heart. 1 Corinthians talk about you yourself are God's temple. That means the Holy Spirit is in your body. Why you have the Holy Spirit in your body? Because you put your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And God give you the Holy Spirit. And now in 2 Corinthians, he say, chapter 3, verse 2, you yourself are our letter of recommendation. If any Christian, he doesn't memorize God's word, he just attend the church. If things happen in his life, I guarantee to you, you will fall. And you cannot witness for Jesus because you don't have the word of God within your heart. And Jesus said that in 1:8 in Acts, when the Holy Spirit come upon you, then you will have the power to witness for me, starting in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the world. If you do not have the Holy Spirit within your heart, you have no power. You cannot even witness for Jesus. You have nothing to say to your friend regarding Jesus Christ. That means you are the tree that doesn't bear fruit. And Jesus said, and John the Baptist said, an axe is by the root of the tree. If you don't bear fruit, he's going to cut it down. He said that, and he will do it, but in due time, not right away. How long it takes him to do it? According to Psalm 95, it takes 40 years. Because the Israelites in the wilderness, they are foolish. They don't understand God's word throughout the whole generation for the 40 years. And God swear to them, You cannot enter my rest. You cannot enter the promised land. And he cut them down. Make sure that, brother and sister, you know that you are God's temple. You have the Holy Spirit within your heart. Secondly, make sure you know that you are our letters. In other words, our letter is God's command. Make sure you have God's word within your heart. And Paul said that, you are our letter that is written in our heart. Is it in your heart? That's the question he's asking too. Is in our heart. Is it in your heart too? Let's take a look at the Old Testament teaching. I want you to write that down right beside 3:2. You write down 1 Corinthians 3:16 to 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 to 20. And also, I want you to write down three Bible verses in the Old Testament. First of all, in Isaiah 59, 20 to 21, talk about those who repent from their sin, and the Lord will come into their heart. When the Lord come into your heart, two things he give it to you. He give you his spirit, and he will give you his word. And then he say, make sure his spirit and his word never depart from your mouth. So what does it mean by never depart from your mouth? According to Jesus' teaching, Matthew chapter 12, 34 to 35, what is in your heart will come out from your mouth. If you do not have God's word within your heart, God cannot use you to share the gospel. Then you end up fruitless tree, and your tree will be cut down. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Verse 34. How can you who are evil say anything good? What make a people evil? Because he has evil spirit within his heart. That's why he's evil. If you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, you are called saint. Saint. Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple? Because you have the Holy Spirit within your heart. So you are not evil, you are saint. But you broke a viper, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of their heart, the mouth speak. Whatever you speak, based upon what is within your heart. But if you do not have the God's word within your heart, you cannot bear fruit. Whatever you do is in vain. Your worship is in vain. Your service is in vain. Your witness is powerless because you only tell your own story. You're not telling God's word and miracle and God's wonderful deed. Verse 35, the good man brings good things out of the good store up in him. I want you to write that down, store up in him. That means written in your heart. You write down 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. You yourself are our letter written on our heart, known and read by everybody. Paul knows that whatever he has written is the Lord's command. He knows that whatever he has written becomes scripture. He first wrote Galatians, and then wrote 1 Corinthians. Now he's writing 2 Corinthians. Because he knows that that's God's command, it's God's word, it's scripture. A lot of people will read it. First of all, Paul himself recognized his writing is scripture. His writing is God's command, is God's word. So that's why he hides God's word within his heart. If a pastor hearing God's word within his heart. That's proof that his credential is sent from God. If you do not have God's words within your heart, you are not God's servant. You think you are God's servant. You are not. Because that is the credential that Paul claimed. He didn't need any letter of recommendation from Church of Corinth, from the saint, from the elder, from the deacon, from all these people. No, he didn't need that. He didn't need any human recommendation. He need God affirmation, as it is recorded in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 20 to 21. If you have God's spirit within your heart, that means your body is God's temple. If you have God's word within your heart, that means you yourself is our letters. Because you yourself are God's word. You have God's word within your heart, whatever come out from your mouth is God's word. Everybody say? Matthew say that. Paul said that. How many people understand it? Not very many people. And I say numerous times, I found out Christians, they don't memorize God's word. When people ask questions, they can't answer. They make a fool of themselves, and people despise Jesus because of us, because we don't know what we are talking about. You don't want to go to see a physician, just like 2 weeks ago, someone tell me, oh, I go and see a physician. I don't want to see him anymore. Because when he write the drugs, he opened the textbook, you know. He didn't know the name of that medication, that medicine. He copied that. Will you go and see him again? I don't think so. Don't ever give a job to the engineer he doesn't know building code. Don't go to see a lawyer he doesn't know the law. Don't go to the church that the pastor doesn't memorize God's word. Brother and sister, I say it one more time. You yourself are God's temple because the Holy Spirit within your heart. And you yourself is our letter because God's word inscribed in your heart. Go to another portion of scripture. Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. You know why people of Israel are rebellious against God? Because they don't have God's word within their heart. Where is the God's word? God's word was inscribed in the stone of tablet. They don't have God's word within their own heart. That's why they rebel against God, and God says it's okay. Now, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. I don't write my word in the tablets of stone. I'm going to write my word in the tablets of human hearts. That is the new covenant. If you do not have that, brother and sister, you are not God's children. Okay? Let me read that to you. I want you to pay attention to what I've read. The time is coming, declared the Lord, when I will make a new covenant, circle the word, new covenant, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I make with their forefather. That covenant is an old covenant. This new covenant will not be like the old covenant I have made with their forefather when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt because they broke my old covenant. Though I was a husband to them, declared the Lord. This is the covenant. That is a new covenant. This is the new covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declared the Lord. I will put my law right beside my law. You write down my letters. 2 Corinthians 3:2. What Paul's saying is, he confirmed what Jeremiah is preaching. He understood what Jeremiah is preaching. A lot of people, they just come to the church, they don't even bring the Bible. and they say they are Christian. They are not Christian, I tell you. You got to read the Bible, check him out to see whether what he's saying is in conformity with the Old Testament teaching. Whatever you say, prove it to me. Not just Isaiah say that, Jeremiah say that, all other preachers saying the same thing. You better follow. I say that one more time. This is the new covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, after the Old Testament, declared the Lord. I will put my law, that means my word and my letter, in their mind and write them on their heart. You write down 3:3, 2 Corinthians. God's word was inscribed in human heart, not on the tablets of stone. Because if God's word in the tablets of stone, that's why the Israelites rebel against God. But if you have God's word within your heart, and God will speak to you every day, and you know exactly what to do. Keep going. 34. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord. You don't need to tell other people, know the Lord. If you have God's word within your heart, God will lead you by his word. You don't need anyone to teach you. God's word will teach you. So no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man teach his brother saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declare the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sin no more. If you do not have God's word within your heart, you don't even know God has already forgiven your sin. Well, I say, wow, how do I know? Let me tell you one thing. I want you to write that down, okay? Right beside here. 34. Because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declare the Lord. I don't care whether you are in the church, you are the least or the greatest. One thing you need to know, you yourself are God's temple because you have Holy Spirit within your heart. You yourself is our letter because you have God's word within your heart. When you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, when you have the God's word within your heart, that means your sins will be forgiven. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. I want you to write that down. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, 9, and 10. If anyone say to me that he never sinned, he does not have sins, you deceive yourself. On top of that, God's truth, God's word is not in your heart. 1:9. If you confess with your mouth that you are a sinner and you ask God to forgive your sins, God is righteous and just and faithful. He will forgive all your sin and cleanse all your unrighteousness. 1:10. If you say you never sin, you make God out to be a liar. He say, you are a sinner. He said, no, I never sin. That means either one tell the truth. Either you tell the truth or God tell the truth. And I tell you, God never lie. You are the one make God to be a liar. Why? Because God's word is not within your heart. If God's word is not within your heart, your sins are not forgiven. Because you deceive yourself and you deceive God. You never know how to confess your sins. Everybody say, hello? Well, I'm saying to you, this is New Testament. And I refer to the Old Testament to you. He talk about the same thing. First John, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. You know why people deceive themselves? Because God's truth is not in us. The new covenant that God make with you, I put my law in your mind, I write my law within your heart. If you do not have God's law within your heart, your sins are not forgiven. Because you will deceive yourself. And you say God is a liar. And you don't know in chapter 1, verse 9, you don't know that you should confess your sin and ask God for forgiveness. The reason why you know you ask God for forgiveness, right beside 1:9, you write down Psalm 32, verse 5. If I confess my sins to the Lord, according to King David, Psalm 32, 5, he will forgive all my sins and cleanse all my unrighteousness. This is not only the Old Testament teaching, it's also the New Testament teaching. Well, you can do whatever you like. You know what? When you see Jesus Christ, my hand is clean. I make it very, very clear. You need to have the Holy Spirit within your heart so that you know that your body is God's temple. On top of that, you need to have God's law, God's word within your heart. Just like what Paul said, you yourself are our letters. When the apostle write you the letter, that is a God's word. You got to make sure that word, not only in Paul's heart, is also in your heart. Paul honored God's word. He memorized God's word. Now I talk to the third prophet, Ezekiel. 36, 26 to 27. In Jeremiah 31 to 34, only talk about God's law, what's written in their mind, in their heart. In Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27, talk about what? God's Spirit. I will take away your heart of stone. I will give you a new heart, a heart of flesh. After I give you a new heart, a heart of flesh, I give you a new spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. It's God's Spirit. I give you God's Spirit within your heart. Why? So that God's Spirit will lead you to obey God's word. Now I say that one more time. Isaiah 59, 20 to 21, talk about the Holy Spirit that God gave it to you. The Holy Scripture, the Holy Word that God gave it to you, never depart from your mouth, nor depart from your children and children's mouth until 1,000 generations. That's how you make a new covenant with you. And then Jeremiah talk about only God's law. Ezekiel talk about only God's Spirit. But when I put all these three together, I see that I need both God's Spirit and God's law within my heart so that I know I'm God's children and God is my God. When I confess my sins and I'm not deceiving myself, nor do I say God is a liar, because I have God's word within my heart and I know how to confess my sin. And I know that I will be forgiven. Now I go back. Take a look at New Testament. I'm not talking about that because I don't want to waste the time. You go home and study. That's your homework. Hebrew 8, Hebrew 10. It's the New Testament. Talk about make sure you have God's word within your heart. Why? Because the Hebrew author quoted the message from Jeremiah 31 to 34. Another one I'm going to talk in detail. Apostle John, Gospel of John, chapter 2, 24 to 27. Talk about God's word. Talk about God's Spirit. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 24. 1 John, chapter 2, 24. See that what you have heard from the beginning remain in you. What you have heard is God's word. Make sure that God's word remain in you. God's word remain in you, that means God's word is within your heart. Make sure that you have that. If you have God's word within your heart, what happened? If it does, you also will remain in the Son, and you will remain in the Father. Only in the Son and in the Father you will get saved. Apart from Him, there's no salvation. Only in Him you will receive salvation. Right beside in Him, you write that down. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. In Jesus Christ, there's no more condemnation. If you do not have God's word within your heart, you will deceive yourself. You will say God is a liar, and you don't know how to pray. You don't know how to confess your sin. You cover it up, just like King David covered it up in Psalm 32, in verse 3 and verse 4. Until God's hand is still on his body, allow pain and suffering in him, then he turn around. Then in verse 5, he say, I confess. I acknowledge my sin. I confess it before the Lord and ask the Lord for forgiveness, just like what is written in the prophets. When you have God's word within your heart, you are not only in the Son, you're also in the Father. Verse 25. And this is what God promised us, eternal life. If you have God's word within your heart, you have eternal life. You write that down, right? Eternal life. You write down 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. I'm writing this letter to you to make sure that you know that you have eternal life. The reason why you know that you have eternal life, because your sins are forgiven. Because you have God's word in your heart. You also write that down. 5:12. Anyone who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Anyone who has the Son of God has life. You are in Him, you have life. In Him, no more condemnation. And this is what God promised us, even eternal life. Verse 26, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. You know who is trying to lead you astray? Anyone tell you that you don't need to memorize God's word? He's the one leading you astray. If you memorize God's word, you don't need anyone to teach you. Because God's law will teach you. It will lead you. God's Spirit will lead you. The reason why you need other people to teach you, because you don't have God's word and God's Spirit within your heart. Verse 27. As for you, you are the same. Make sure the anointing, right beside the anointing, the Holy Spirit will write down. The anointing, the Holy Spirit you receive from Him, remain in you. Make sure God's word remain in you, never depart from your mouth. If it's within your heart, it will overflow, come out of your mouth. You have God's word within your heart, you have God's spirit within your heart, then you can be used by God to witness for Him. You will bear a lot of fruit. When you see Jesus Christ, you will not see Him with the empty handed. And you do not need anyone to teach you. Same as Jeremiah chapter 31, 33 and 34. Same thing. They are all saying the same thing. Okay? If you do, I say it again, as for you, the anointing is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit you receive from Him, from Jesus Christ, remain in you. If you do not, and then you do not need anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. God's word will teach you all things. And as that anointing is real, Holy Spirit is real, not counterfeit. Just as it has taught you, remain in Him. Make sure you are in Christ Jesus, and make sure you are in the Father. How do I be in Christ? Based upon chapter 2, verse 24. Whatever you have heard God's word from me, make sure that it remain in your heart. I want you to write that down, Matthew chapter 13, the first parable about sowing the seed. If you hear God's word, you don't understand. The moment you walk away from this room, by the door, Satan, you know, the evil spirit, will snatch God's word from your heart. When God's word was snatched by Satan out of your heart, you get nothing. Have you ever seen, you try to feed your child with milk, you know, but you don't bird it, okay? You don't bird it, okay? You keep feeding it. You know what happened? You shake it, you rock it, okay? By the time you go out, everything you could, what? Moses? So, he lost everything. Your child won't grow. Okay? Make sure it remains in you, God's word. All right? So, chapter 3, verse 2. I read that again. You yourselves are our letters. You yourself are our letter of recommendation. But that letter is written on our heart and known and read by everybody. Now, the saint in the Apostolic Bible Church read that now. We know it now. Okay? Verse 3, you sow that you are a letter from Christ. The NIV translation is wrong. It's not, you are a letter from Christ. You write that down. You are a letter of Christ. The Chinese translation is correct. I checked the Greek word. You are a letter of Christ. You are Christ's letter. You remember what Paul said? You are God's temple. Now you are Christ's letter. Because Christ expects you to share God's word. You have to have God's word, Christ's word, within your heart. And hear what he say again. At first he say, you yourself are our letter. That letter wasn't written in you, but that letter is written in our heart, known and read by everybody. Chapter 3, verse 3, you sow that you are a letter of Christ. The result of our ministry, because I come, the result of our ministry, you write down Acts chapter 18. Because Paul go to the synagogue of Corinth. And then he share and tell them, Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is the Christ. And those people who believe in Paul's teaching, and the word of Christ remained in them, they left the synagogue of Corinth, and they start the Church of God, Church of Christ, in the city of Corinth. And that's how Paul started the church. And you show yourself that you are a letter of Christ. The result of our ministry in Acts chapter 18, a lot of people come to know Christ at that time. And they left the church. They left the synagogue. That synagogue is a synagogue of Satan. And they start the Church of God. Okay? I want you to write that down. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 2. This letter was written to the Church of God in Corinth. Church of God. Go back to 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 1. This letter was written to the Church of God in Corinth. And those people who remain in the synagogue, I want you to write down 2:9 and 3:9. Revelation. That's what Jesus said. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. I know your affliction and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. That is Jesus' word. 3:9 to the church of Philadelphia. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Those people in the book of Acts chapter 18 hear the preaching of Paul and yet remain in the church, refuse to follow Paul because Paul followed Jesus. They remain the member of the synagogue of Satan. And though left with Paul and start a new church of God, they are the same. And God wants them to have the word of God within their heart. God wants them to have the Holy Spirit within their heart. Thanks God to let us know. Having God's word within your heart is not good enough, because according to Ezekiel, when you have God's word within and inscribed within your heart, you need the Holy Spirit. You need a new heart from Jesus so that the Holy Spirit will guide you so that you can follow God's word. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, we can't do that. We need both. That is why you write that down. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul said that, do not be filled with alcohol, for it will lead to debauchery, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then you write down Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ to be filled within your heart. Then you can use all kind of wisdom and understanding to teach and to admonish one another. And then you can sing songs, hymns, and psalms of praise to God if you have the word of God dwell within your heart richly, richly. You know, this kind of preacher is good preacher. He's not leading you astray. He's telling you to do the right way. Okay? Do you agree, Moses? Keep going. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3, verse 3. You saw that you are a letter from Christ as a result of our ministry. Why he say our ministry? Because he give credit also to Timothy. He give credit to Titus. Go back to 18. Acts 18, the Bible says in verse 5, when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching and testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood be on your own head, and I'm clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentile. And that's how he started the new church. Go to the Gentile and preach to the Gentile. Not only he preached, Silas preached, Timothy preach. So that's why he say, you yourself are a letter of Christ, the result of our ministry, the ministry of Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And that letter, not written with ink, but that letter written with the Spirit of the living God. And then that letter wasn't written on the tablets of stone like the Old Testament. But this God's word was written on the tablet of human heart. Right beside human heart, you say that's a new new covenant. You write down Isaiah 59:20-21. You write down Jeremiah 31:31-34. You write down Ezekiel 36:26-27. That is how God wants to make a new covenant with the people of Israel. You say, Pastor John, this is what God said to the people of Israel. What does it got to do with me? I want you to add that one more portion. Other than write Isaiah 59, Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel 36, you write down Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. That is God's mystery. What is God's mystery? When the Gentile hear the gospel, as long as they are in Christ, they believe Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is the Christ, then the Gentile, together with Israel, will receive the same kind of promise to become the same body, body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to receive the same inheritance. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. This mystery is God's mystery. God's mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heir together with Israel. You can inherit the inheritance. And you are member together of one body because you're baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You become one body, right beside one body. Make sure that is one body. Right beside one body, you write down 4:3. There's only one body, one spirit, and one hope. If you are outside this body of Christ, you have no hope. Ephesians, you write that down. 4:3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And 4:4, there is only one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. Right beside this one body, you write down 3:6. Right beside this body, one body, you write down Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Because God only promised to Abraham and his seed. His seed is singular. He didn't promise to everyone. He promised to, he's going to bless Abraham. He's going to bless Jesus Christ, that one body. But when you baptize into his body, you get the blessing. So that's why Acts chapter 4, verse 12, salvation comes from no other way. Only through this one body, through this Jesus Christ. For there's no other name by which we must be saved. There's only that name of Jesus that will be saved. Turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else. Salvation is only found in one body, in Jesus Christ. You write down Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. For there's no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. You need to believe in Jesus. You need to baptize into his name. You need to receive the Holy Spirit. Then you're good to go. And then you start learning God's word. Whatever you learn, remain in you. And then you teach other people. The more you teach other people, the more God can empower you to understand God's word. Now I go back. Chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Corinthians. At first, he says 3:2. that God's word, that our letter was written in our heart, in our mind, because we make the new covenant with God. Now he wants to pass along Christ's letter, a letter of Christ, as a result of our ministry, written not with ink, but written with the Spirit of the living God, not on the tablets of stone, so that you keep on rebelling against God, but on the tablet of human heart. First of all, he set the example, God's word is in my heart. Now he wants to make sure that God's word is in your heart. Everybody say, our Heavenly Father, we understood what you have said to us, and help us to remain in Jesus Christ, because in Jesus Christ, there's a new creation, the old has passed, the new has come. Because in Jesus Christ, there's no condemnation. And help us to understand, make sure that we work out our salvation. Don't go to university to audit classes without doing assignment. And help us not to go to the church without doing homework. And help us to study diligently. And make sure that God's word remain in us. When God's word remain in us, then we will remain in the Son and also remain in the Father. When we have God's word remain in us, we have eternal life. That's the God's promise for us. And all our sins will be forgiven. And we know how to confess our sins. We know that God is gracious to us and merciful to us. Lord, I pray, you help us not only have God's word remain in us, help us to have the anointing, the Holy Spirit remain in us. Because the anointing will lead us to be able to understand God's word and to do God's word so that we will get blessing from you. We not only be saved, we also lead other people to come to know you and to be saved too. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.